hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Give it to me straight.
There's a place to find all the answers.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Wednesday, the 16th of May, 2007. And Henry in Connecticut, you wanted to know what would my beef was, or one of my beefs with the libertarians.
Yeah, we'll give a couple of them.
Well, okay. Well, one biggie for me, and this was, gosh, this was almost, I'm going to say almost 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I knew some people in libertarian pretty high up in the ranks there, and their position on drugs, where they wanted to either legalize, and I think that initially that's what was kicked around. And then later it was modified to decriminalizing drugs. And I said at the time, I said, look, I said, I understand what you're saying. And I know how this game works. For greater police protection of the public out there, we have drugs running, flowing through our streets. Crooked people, law enforcement, politicians, people are getting filthy rich off of this stuff.
Yeah, the government's dealing in it, bringing the Latin.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
And this sets them up, of course, to be blackmailed and to do their bidding at a phone call.
Right.
So, you know, I said to him, I said, look, I said, if you're trying to pull people into a new party, I said, why are you taking on issues that miles and reams and hours and it's been written about, talked about? You're going to come out with something like that. You want people to become libertarians, but yet you're going to go out there and say that, you know, you should legalize drugs. Now, it just doesn't flat fly. Now, politically, that was suicide to do so, even though I understood the motives for doing it, because who is the federal government to tell you what you should do with your own body if you're not harming anybody else?
Right, or doing them on the job or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, doing them on the job. I mean,
right, flying a plane or a train or a car.
Yeah, I mean, we're all peeing in bottles now, right? I mean,
yeah,
if,
right.
If you're a taxi driver, you got to pee in a bottle. I'm sitting in my office a couple hours ago. I'm looking out the window. I see an accident. Two cars involved. Luckily, nobody was hurt. But the guy crossed into the oncoming traffic because he fell asleep. He wasn't even drunk. I mean, do
right.
we need laws here on meters in cars and test people with their reflexes or whatever? There's a never-ending thing about this. What it boils down to is responsibility. And I've said this before. I'm not an advocate of drinking and driving out there. I don't want to see some guy downing a fifth of four roses and driving down a city street doing 90 miles an hour sideways.
Yeah.
But if he
that's deadly.
Yeah, if he goes out there and harms somebody, let the weight of the state come down on him. But should we have and the point of the drunk driving laws is going to be zero tolerance. That's why you're seeing it inch down further and further and further to zero. That if you have a beer 2 hours ago and you happen to take a breathalyzer test and you blow a .1, well, you're going to be impaired and you're going to go to jail any damn way. But the point of it is that, and my argument with the Libertarian Party was, and I understood what they were trying to inject there,
yeah.
and understand the personal responsibility, how government's supposed to function, whatever, but I said at the time, you know, we got two parties out there right now that are not following the Constitution, and you people have been in business for, what, 30 years, and you've gotten no traction yet? Or, I mean, even Ron Paul tried it, what, back in 98?
Yeah, for president, but they won a couple of seats, though, in the last election somewhere
yeah.
around the country, a local
yeah.
level, yeah.
But how about a Republican that's an adherence to the Constitution, and that you could listen to this guy, you could look at his voting record, and you just knew that he was following the Constitution? That should apply to the other side of the aisle as well. I don't see where a third party is going to straighten out this mess because they own everything as it is.
Right.
Henry, I thank you for your call. Yeah. Appreciate it. Was that noise on his end? Oh, okay. All right. Henry, by the way, you might want to have your phone looked at. Gus, Jeff, and Ed will get to your calls here. Ed, I'll take you because you're on a cell. I'll take you first right after the break.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Ed in Texas. Ed, you chased everybody else off. I don't know why that is, but you did.
I'm sorry.
No, that's... Hey, well, they call in, they get their names on the board, and then they just drop. I wish they wouldn't do it. I wish they wouldn't call in the first place if that's what they're going to do. At any rate.
Okay. Now, I called your office today, and I found out that, I got Ron Paul's regular office. I called them, and they referred me back to get bumper stickers to Liberty stickers.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they're kind of hard to find, but apparently Liberty stickers has them, and I got a recording. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'll get them when I can get them. But out here in this part of Texas, nobody even knows who he is. And
what part of Texas are you talking about?
Far southwest Texas desert.
They don't even know who Ron Paul is? Texas ain't that big.
Yeah, it is. I'm 80 miles east of El Paso.
No, I'm not arguing. I'm just saying... What is the deal down there in the Southwest? I mean, what kind of people you got down there?
Well, I was talking to a guy who's into politics, you know, one of the local official types. He was pushing he signed the petition for something about the fire department and asked me if I was a registered voter, and I said no. And because I hadn't registered since 1996 when I rode in Charles Collins. I said, what's the point? But I told him, I said, I wouldn't register again unless Ron Paul is on the ballot. And he said, who's that? I told him it a little bit. And I want to get some bumper stickers out of it. I'm going to do it. But nonetheless, the real reason I called, other than that, there's a strange sight going on out here. I drive a big truck between, 100 miles east of El Paso to El Paso and back. You know, I do that twice a day. And I'm seeing these things on the interstate. And they are portable jail cells. And I'm talking about hundreds of them. I've been trying to get a picture of them. They're on big trucks, and they're heading east out of El Paso, and I don't know where they're going.
Okay, when you say jail cells, most people think batteries when you say jail cell.
No, jail cells.
Okay, jail. Okay.
Yes, bars on the windows. Small windows high up on the wall. Every now and then I'll see a door. They'll have it turned where I can see the door.
What color is the exterior, and what's it made out of?
They're tan, and they're steel.
Okay, but is the outside, does it look like pebbled stone?
No. They're not the electrical things.
Okay, that's what I was after, for the cell towers.
These are flat steel walls with small barred windows, and I saw one this morning. There was two of them on a flatbed, and I saw the doors, and they have simple locks. That's it. No handle, no nothing, just a keyhole lock, a big one, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I see them rolling east out of here. Now, I don't have the resources to follow one of them. You got a over-the-road 18-wheeler, Peterbilt or something like that. This guy's getting 1,200 miles in a tank, a fill-up of fuel. I couldn't follow him. I'm trying to get a picture. I saw one this morning. It would have been beautiful. He was stopped on an off-ramp heading east. If he'd have been on the on-ramp, I'd have nailed him. But as I went by, I had no place to get my truck off the road to go back and take pictures of this thing. Now, I'm going to get pictures of him, and I'm seeing two and three of them a day. I'm making two trips into El Paso and back, and they're always heading east. When I see them, I'm heading west, so they blow by me, and if I try to take a picture out the window, my side view mirror's out in the way, so I can't get a good picture of them like that. I've got to get one stopped. When I do, I'll send you, and I'll send Alex, and I'll send,
Okay, well, whoever's on your list. Okay, I understand, Ed. One thing I would suggest that you do, do you have any major truck stops around where you're at?
Yeah, we got the Flying J. I saw one pull in there when I was in my family car, and I didn't have the camera with me.
Okay, well, my point is, why don't you just go talk to the driver and say, hey, man, what are those things? And
if
see,
I could,
yeah,
the problem is catching them stopped, John.
No, I understand it. But you also could inquire at your truck stop if any other truckers have seen those things.
Yeah.
Because they pretty much know what each other's hauling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Ed. Well, I appreciate it.
Well, I'll send you all pictures when and if I can get them.
All right.
I'm doing my best.
Okay. Well, all right. I appreciate that very much, Ed. Thanks. by the way, Ed says that down in Southwest Texas, they don't even know who Ron Paul is. Well, evidently, the Austin un-American statesman here. Sorry, guys, but you are. They don't know who Ron Paul is either. On the today's paper on page A7, GOP candidates debate conservative credentials. And lo and behold, caption picture here, front runners and lesser known sought to stand out on the stage. From left are Rudy Giuliani, Mike Huckabee, Duncan Hunter, Sam Brownback, Tommy Thompson, Mitt Romney, and Jim Gilmore. Oh, I'm sorry, where'd Ron Paul go? Somebody ought to call the Austin un-American statesman and tell them that they've got a congressman in the 14th district that's running for president. You know, I get calls from these clowns all the time. You know, they do this. Evidently, their circulation's down. They're platinum at HEB supermarket stores down here. And you get calls on the phone all the time, people banging on your doors. saying, "Hi, would you like to subscribe to the Austin American Statesman?" No. Why, was the paper sold? What? No, has the paper been sold? Has it changed hands recently? Well, no, I don't think so. And then don't come back here again and ask me if I want to buy that rag. The great, here we are in the cat. This is the preeminent paper here in Austin, Texas. I think this is the only major publication here in Austin, Texas. The capital of the state. And they don't even mention that Ron Paul was on the stage. Do you think the fix is in? Do you think the editors of these newspapers aren't in somebody's back pocket someplace? I'll tell you, the only way that this guy's going to get elected president is everybody gets on their political high horse out there and starts banging the heck out of their fellow citizens and get them to watch, you know, get them to watch the debates. All right, I'm going to go back to some clips here, and I want to get into last night. this is some stuff, folks. I mean, Sean Hannity is just exemplary, his deadhead self. This is a clip, I do believe it's out of the debate itself and a response by Ron Paul to a question.
Congressman Paul, you're one of six House Republicans who back in 2002 voted against authorizing President Bush to use force in Iraq. Now you say we should pull our troops out. A recent poll found that 77% of Republicans disapprove of the idea of setting a timetable for withdrawal. Are you running for the nomination of the wrong party?
But you have to realize that the base of the Republican Party shrunk last year because of the war issue. So that percentage represents less people. If you look at 65 to 70% of the American people, they want us out of there. They want the war over. In 2002, I offered an amendment to international relations to declare war up or down. And it was nobody voted for the war. And my argument there was, if we want to go to war and if we should go to war, the Congress should declare it. We don't go to war like we did in Vietnam and Korea because the wars never end. And I argued the case and made the point that it would be a quagmire if we go in. Ronald Reagan in 1983 sent Marines into Lebanon, and he said he would never turn tail and run. A few months later, the Marines were killed, 241 were killed, and the Marines were taken out. And Reagan addressed this subject in his memoirs, and he says, "I said I would never turn tail and run." He says, "But I never realized the irrationality of Middle Eastern politics," and he changed his policy there. We need the courage of a Ronald Reagan.
A question about controlling government spending. Some of your critics say you lack fiscal discipline. Tell me three federal programs you consider wasteful and would eliminate. Congressman Paul, can you do better than that, sir?
I'd start with the departments. Department of Education, Department of Energy, Department of Homeland Security. The Republicans put in the Department of Homeland Security. It's a monstrous type of bureaucracy. It was supposed to be streamlining our security, and it's unmanageable. I mean, just think of the efficiency of FEMA in its efforts to take care of the floods and the hurricanes. So, yes, there's a lot of things that we can cut, but we can't cut anything until we change our philosophy about what government should do. If you think we can continue to police the world and spend hundreds of billions of dollars overseas and spend hundreds of billions of dollars running a welfare state, an entitlement system that has accumulated $60 trillion worth of obligations.
Whoa, $60 trillion in obligations. Now, you would think, ladies and gentlemen, throwing out, and no politician has ever done this, throwing out a figure of $60 trillion, you would have thought that there would have been and the talking heads there, the Brit Hume crowd, had the opportunity to do follow-ups of their own for 30 seconds. You would have thought that one of these guys would have went, "What? Whoa, wait a minute here. $60 trillion, Mr. Paul?" Well, there's only two explanations as to why they didn't query him on that $60 trillion figure. And as I said earlier, that's on the light side. We figured out between $75 and $100 trillion, probably closer to $100 trillion. There's a reason, two reasons why. Either they didn't catch it, or they already knew about it and didn't want to talk about it and have further explanation in the debate. But he threw it out there. It's already been recorded. He's already said it. It's already on record. And not one of these characters did a follow-up, and no other political pundit up there made any reference to that. We'll break. We'll continue this on the other side.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
All right, we're going to continue with this. We've got a short segment here, but we'll try to get this in here.
And think that we can run the economy this way. We spend so much money now that we have to borrow nearly $3 billion a day from foreigners to take care of our consumption. And we can't afford that. We can't afford it in the government. We can't afford it as a nation. So tax reform should come, but spending cuts have to come by changing our attitude, what government ought to be doing for us.
You would eliminate the Department of Homeland Security in the midst of a war, sir?
Well, I think we should not go to more bureaucracy. It didn't work. We were spending $40 billion on security prior to 9/11, and they had all the information they needed there to deal with the threat. And it was inefficiency. So what do? We add a gigantic bureaucracy, which they're still working on trying to put it together. And a tremendous amount of increase in funds. So I don't think that the Republican position ought to be more bureaucracy. I mean, why did we double the size of the Department of Education?
Congressman Paul, I believe you are the only man on the stage who opposes the war in Iraq, who would bring the troops home as quickly as almost immediately, sir. Are you out of step with your party? Is your party out of step with the rest of the world? If either of those is the case, why are you seeking its nomination?
Well, I think the party has lost its way because the conservative wing of the Republican Party always advocated a non-interventionist foreign policy. Senator Robert Taft didn't want to be in NATO. George Bush won the election in year 2000 campaigning on a humble foreign policy. No nation building, no policing of the world. Republicans were elected to end the Korean War. The Republicans were elected to end the Vietnam War. There's a strong tradition of being anti-war in the Republican Party. It is the constitutional position. It is the advice of the founders to follow a non-interventionist foreign policy. Stay out of entangling alliances. Be friends with countries. Negotiate and talk with them and trade with them. Just think of the tremendous improvement relationships with Vietnam. We lost 60,000 men. We came home in defeat. Now we go over there and invest in Vietnam. So there's a lot of merit to the advice of the founders and following the Constitution. And my argument is that we shouldn't go to war so carelessly. When we do, the wars don't end.
Congressman, you don't think that changed with the 9/11 attack, sir?
What changed?
The non-interventionist policies.
No, non-intervention was a major contributing factor. Have you ever read about the reasons they attacked us? They attack us because we've been over there. We've been bombing Iraq for 10 years. We've been in the Middle East. I think Reagan was right. We don't understand the irrationality of Middle Eastern politics. So right now we're building an embassy in Iraq that's bigger than the Vatican. We're building 14 permanent bases. What would we say here if China was doing this in our country or in the Gulf of Mexico? We would be objecting. We need to look at what we do from the perspective of what would happen if somebody else did it to us.
Are you suggesting we invited the 9/11 attacks, sir?
I'm suggesting that we listen to the people who attacked us and the reason they did it. And they are delighted that we're over there because Osama bin Laden has said, I am glad you're over on our sand because we can target you so much easier. They've already now, since that time, have killed 3,400 of our men, and I don't think it was necessary.
Wendell, may I make a comment on that?
Now, this is where Giuliani jumps into this deal, and he takes great exception to Ron Paul. And it was mischaracterized, and Ron Paul explained it later in subsequent interview. But Rudy Giuliani jumped all over this thing, because here was the big 9/11 guy. Here was the guy that was on the ground in New York City. And oh my goodness, he wanted Ron Paul to retract that. Man of courage did not. He's sticking by his guns.
That's really an extraordinary statement. It's an extraordinary statement as someone who lived through the attack of September 11, that we invited the attack because we were attacking Iraq. I don't think I've ever heard that before, and I've heard some pretty absurd explanations for September 11. I would ask the congressman to withdraw that comment and tell us that he didn't really mean that.
Congressman?
I believe very sincerely that the CIA is correct when they teach and talk about blowback. When we went into Iran in 1953 and installed the Shah, yes, there was blowback. The reaction to that was the taking of our hostages, and that persists. And if we ignore that, we ignore that at our own risk. That if we think that we can do what we want around the world and not incite hatred, then we have a problem. They don't come here to attack us because we're rich and we're free. They come and they attack us because we're over there. I mean, what would we think if we were if other foreign countries were doing that to us?
Can I have 30 seconds, please?
No, wait a second. Let's all get 30 seconds.
They are coming.
We all want 30 seconds.
All right, I'm going to pause it there because we're coming up on break. But if you missed the debates last night, folks, and I encourage you to watch these things, because what you're seeing is the hypocrisy and the underhanding dealings that these frontline politicians are trying to hand America. Ron Paul is talking about foreign policy, detente, not at the point of a gun, but the point of a pen. And that's the whole point. We'll break here, come back on the other side. We'll continue to roll some clips here and talk about Mr. Paul. Folks, I'm actually going to register to vote for this guy next year.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Let me see if I can get this, my mind wrapped around this. He leads in the polls on MSNBC and on Fox. 70% of the people in this country want the troops home from Iraq, and they're not talking timetables. By the way, speaking of which, in the Austin Un-American Statesman, let me find the article here real quick. And when you need to find it, it is not there. Well, I'll find the article here in a second, but let me just run the rest of this clip.
This round will be premised on a fictional but we think plausible scenario involving terrorism and the response to it. Here's the premise. Three shopping centers near major U.S. cities have been hit by suicide bombers. Hundreds are dead, thousands injured. A fourth attack has been averted when the attackers were captured off the Florida coast and taken to Guantanamo Bay, where they are being questioned. U.S. intelligence believes that another larger attack is planned and could come at any time. First question to you, Senator McCain. How aggressively would you interrogate those being held at Guantanamo Bay for information about where the next attack might be? Congressman Paul, one last question for you on this. The president believed after 9/11 that the tax cuts that he had put in place were helpful in softening the economic downturn that occurred and allowing the United States economy to rise out of it. Would you propose, what economic policies would you propose under this scenario to avert or soften a recession?
Well, the lower the taxes, the better, and I think cutting taxes would be beneficial, but we should find places where we could cut spending as well, because eventually a deficit can be very, very harmful to us. But, I think it's interesting talking about torture here, and it's become enhanced interrogation technique. It sounds like newspeak. Nobody's for the torture, and I think that's important. But as far as taking care of a problem like this, the president has the authority to do that. If we're under imminent attack, the president can take that upon himself to do it. But just think, we gave the president authority to go into Afghanistan, and here we have Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. They have nuclear weapons, and we're giving them money. And we forgot about him, and now we're over in Iraq in a war that's bogging us down, and we have forgotten against about dealing with the people that attacked us. And here you have a hypothetical attack that you're dealing with. We ought to be dealing with the one we have right now.
And in the Austin Un-American Statesman, I found the article, New War Funding Measures Set for a Vote Today in the Senate. The Senate is poised to vote today on a compromise, underscore compromise, folks, measure to aimed at breaking 3 months of deadlock with the White House over financing the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The measure would call for bringing U.S. combat forces home from Iraq by March 31st, 2008, but would allow the president to waive that deadline depending on conditions on the ground. Now, there's your great Democrat Party that has taken control of the House and the Congress. And as I said before, they could have sent the same bill back to the president. And there comes a time where he has to sign the bill. He just can't keep rejecting it. If it is the will of the people and the Congress of the United States, well, then he's got to eventually sign the thing. But no, not Nancy Pelosi, the one that said initially when she first took the Speaker of the House position that no, impeachment is off the board. The impeachment's off the board. Why? He lied us into a war. 9/11 was not caused by Saddam Hussein. And I don't give a rat's tootie here. If Saddam Hussein gassed 1,800 of his political enemies, we now have over 700,000 Iraqi dead right now. Did Saddam Hussein do that? No. He did not. And do we have 17 full-scale permanent bases in Iraq right now? Yes, we do. Why are they there? Does that sound like anybody's going to withdraw at any given time, or are they going to be using that as bases of operations that were pulled out of Saudi Arabia? Because Saudi Arabia, quite frankly, doesn't want the bases. Oh, and by the way, 17 of the 19 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. Now, these are going to be operation bases, forward operation bases, for more warmongering in the Middle East. And it's fascinating to me to hear this. And it's just this post-apocalyptic, well, we're there now and we've got to deal with it. That we can't turn tail on the Iraqi people. Well, the Iraqis want us the heck out of there. Most of them over there do. The greatest percentage of Iraqis want us out of there. But now we can't do it because now the Sunnis and the Shiites, who were enemies before, didn't get along, are now united against the United States. Iraq doesn't have Saddam Hussein anymore. Well, he is one of the axes of evil over there. Had nothing to do with 9/11. Al-Qaeda couldn't come into his country because he hated Al-Qaeda. The Sunnis and the Shiites were fighting with each other. They didn't unite. Now they're united. And now they're talking about, well, we've got to keep the troops on the ground until the Iraqi government gets its stuff together. And to do what? There's going to be more and more violence with us standing over there with our thumbs inserted in some body part. Continuing to lose American soldiers for what? Saddam Hussein didn't launch any attacks on the United States since September 11, 2001. That was an inside job. So the stuff continues. This is what I said at the top of the program today, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Paul is upsetting a lot of different apple carts. The Halliburtons, the Bechtels, the Blackwaters, the oil companies, the international banksters, they're all drooling because they see a grand prize over there. But we're not done. We're going to do the roadmap for peace for Israel over there. We're going to go after Iran. We're going to go after Syria. We're going to go after Lebanon. Hell, we might even go after Palestine. After all the damage Israel has done to the Palestinians over there. $3 billion a day, folks, that we have to bring in to finance everything. And this war is costing us $1 trillion a year. To say nothing of the life, the human life, which we have no business taking. Not for political purposes. That's why this guy's got everybody scared. There's too much money on the table. There's too many profits to be made. There's an agenda of shutting down the Middle East and giving control to that to Israel and the United States and whoever else wants to partner up. Now, there's some people out there, small countries like China and Russia, that are totally opposed to that. So where is it going to end? Well, for our part, it would end when we get our troops the heck out of there. It will end when we stop paying Israel over $3 billion, and that's a paltry amount. That's not the full amount. They don't talk about contracts that are awarded. They don't talk about the military hardware giveaway. You know, we got our troops over there. We got our reservists over there, and they can't deal with tornadoes and natural disasters here in this country because they've robbed all the assets. And we're trying to sell the debt to the entire planet at $3 billion a day, and there are less and less takers on the world market. Ron Paul said it. We're $60 trillion in the hole right now. It's more like $100 trillion, but let's not unnecessarily scare the public. But did you hear the reaction of these 70-plus old Republicans down there at this university campus in South Carolina? Were they handpicked by Fox? Who the heck knows? Were they pre-screened? Are you a George Bush supporter? Well, yes. Well, okay, you can go in and sit down. I don't know how it was done, but that audience was out of step with what the opinion, the general opinion of the American people is across the board in regards to the war in Iraq. Ron Paul isn't, and he doesn't waffle. He doesn't change his mind for political expediency. To garner a few more votes, he's not going to pander. He's standing by the Constitution. He's telling the truth. He is a representative, a statesman for this country. And it's becoming abundantly clear with the carefully coiffured clowns up there and the Rudy Giulianis and the Mitt Romneys that are being backed by the big money because they are owned outright. This man poses a threat to the moneymakers, the globalists, the corporations, the Halliburtons, the Bechtels, the Blackwaters, and whoever else is in there making money hand over fist off of the burned, charred, and burnt up bodies, ours and theirs. But yet it continues day after day after day. And you people out there that consider yourself to be Democrats, take a look at what your own party just did once they went and ascended to power in Washington, D.C. Oh, well, I guess we're going to side with the president. We can't set any timetables because that'll be a clear message to the enemy over there. You know, we went over to get Saddam Hussein, didn't we? Oh, but now it's morphed into the worldwide war on terror that's going to last forever. And run your false flag operations, get the politicians and the lies to roll. What next enemy we've got to go after to maintain a police state so we can rob you of all of your constitutional rights. Enough! Enough. Folks, let me just put it to you simply. If we don't get somebody in a high office in this country that has basic common sense on economics, foreign policy, the workings of this country based on the founding documents of it, we are more than doomed. We are going to be set up in the future for much more heartache and heartbreak and angst and anxiety and fear than what you're seeing right now. It's a glitzy little game of politics right now. But it's going to get deadly serious very, very shortly. You think you're going to be holding a job a year or two from now? You're not. Your butt's going to be sitting out on the street corner with your family. This country is morally, ethically, and financially bankrupt. It is done. Save for the fact that we've got good people out there that are willing to occupy, willing to take it back. But there's not enough of you. Not yet. With all the bad news that we've been giving you, and it scared some of you under the beds. But we're talking about your life. We're talking about your neighbor's life. We're talking about your neighbors. We're talking about your children, the successive generations. They're not going to have a free piece of common ground in which to live their lives. And I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, without basic rights, God-given rights in this country, life is not going to be worth living. You may chide yourself into believing otherwise, but you already know you're wrong. So what are you willing to do for it? What are you willing to do for this country? What are you willing to do for yourself? If your approach to this is just strictly narcissistic, that you don't want to be messed with, what are you willing to do? It is that time. The time has come. Now, I'm going to get into, for the final minutes here, now that I blew out my throat, with the Ron Paul exchange here with our dear friend, Mr. Hannity, supposedly a conservative, a Bush lover. I can see the day, ladies and gentlemen, where somebody like this character is not tolerated in public view. I am hoping for that day. And it's going to happen if we want it to happen. You got the vision, you can see yourself doing it, it will be done. But if you can't see yourself doing it, might as well hide under your bed. Now, let me see if I can dial this thing up. Here we go. Here's the great Sean Hannity. Come on, Sean, hit me with your wisdom.
The early results of our text message poll. First place, Ron Paul, surprisingly, 33%. In second place, Governor, you're in second place with 27%. Third place, Mayor Giuliani with 16%. And so we'll be watching and monitoring those numbers for you all night.
Ron Paul coming in with the win on the text message election, at least in the early returns, is almost in line with the attraction that he's caused for the press. It seems that by getting slapped by Rudy Giuliani for his assertion that the U.S. effectively asked for the 9/11 attacks, for bombing Iraq when it was under sanctions, he's going to get a lot of ink. So Ron Paul, quite by the actions of Rudy Giuliani's attack, may be doing quite well. And as for the text messaging, maybe he's a little bit better organized and having his organizers do the necessary dialing for all of that. Mitt Romney coming in a strong second above Rudy Giuliani, and John McCain not yet placing in the early returns, suggests that folks have begun to sort of get a grasp for the top tier, with the exception of Ron Paul.
We're coming up on close to 20,000 votes, and the percentages are still staying pretty consistent. In first place, Ron Paul, 29%. Mitt Romney closing in on 27%. In third place, Rudy Giuliani, 16%. And joining us now is California Congressman, presidential candidate Duncan Hunter. Thank you, sir, for being with us. Appreciate
Alan,
it very much.
Great to
what
be with you.
What did you say that Ron Paul, who had that big confrontation tonight with Rudy Giuliani, had a very different point of view on so many issues than every other Republican on the stage, yet first in our texting tonight in this vote.
I think there was a lot of entertainment there, and I think people are looking for entertainment.
Do you think that's what it is? You don't take him seriously?
Well, I
Oh, gosh, let me stop here. They're looking for entertainment? No. You clown. They're not looking for entertainment. They're looking for honest leadership. And how well did Duncan Hunter do in this wonderful debate? Oh, geez. He's not even... Duncan Hunter. Who showed the most leadership qualities? He came in 1.6%. Ron Paul, 47. Of course he's going to be a clown. Of course they're just there for the entertainment. Because people aren't buying crap that you're shoveling anymore, Mr. Hunter. They've had enough of it. Skip the break.
When he says we started 9/11, no.
Well, he didn't say he started. He said our policies may have led people to disagree with us.
I'll tell you why I disagree with that. You know, the last country that we saved in a military operation was a Muslim country, Kuwait. So the United States, rather than being viewed by the Muslim world as a nation that's been aggressive toward Muslim countries, saved a Muslim country, and our reward was to get hit on 9/11.
Oh, no, Mr. Hunter. They saved the oil. Saddam Hussein caught them slant drilling into his oil fields. And there was a deal struck by President Bush Sr. that he could have half of Kuwait. Well, he took it all. Hence the 91 war. Desert dust. But no better than what you did, Mr. Bush. After all, your oil cronies are already over there salivating in the oil in Iraq.
Put them up on the screen here.
It's got to be Ron back.
There we go. It sounds Paul, actually. 30 for Ron Paul, 28 for Romney, and we have 16 for Giuliani.
Hey, listen, my view, Congressman, Ron Paul did not win that debate by any stretch.
I'm not surprised to hear Sean Hannity say that.
Tied for first place, Ron Paul and Mitt Romney, 27%. Rudy Giuliani has the next highest percentage at 18%. And joining us now is presidential candidate, former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore. By the way, I disagreed with Ron Paul winning that, but I haven't sent in my text vote yet because I've been busy at work and I haven't seen it.
Here's a current look at the results of our text message poll. In first place, Mitt Romney, 27%. In a very close second place, Ron Paul, 26%. In third place, Rudy Giuliani with 18%. And back with us now, former Democratic pollster Pat Goodell and GOPAC chairman Michael Steele, both our Fox News contributors. Michael, what does it say? That here you have, throughout the night, Ron Paul slipping just 1%, but has been ahead all night. Perhaps the most controversial statements of the entire debate and at variance with everybody else in the Republican field.
Right.
What does it say that he's doing so well in our text messaging among those watching Fox News?
To be honest,
right,
it says absolutely nothing. It says that he's got a lot of folks out there who's going to text message for him. I think tonight, in my view, there was clear separation between those who should be in this campaign and those who shouldn't. And I thought that...
Based on what?
Well, based on their responses to the answers, I thought, to the questions, their responses to where they're going to move, like to move forward.
Who should not be in the campaign then?
Well, that's a judgment that the party's going to have to make. In my view, I think Paul, in my view, hurt himself tonight a little bit. I think.
Not if you go by that text poll.
Well, again, I'm not going to look at a text poll. I'm going to look at my reaction to it. And I just think there was a big difference.
Text polls are text polls.
Right.
It's like internet polls.
It's not even phone calls.
He did not
win
that debate. But more importantly,
who did?
Outrageous. And I challenged him on it here. Because the suggestion here is that
it's our fault.
That our fault.
And that's crazy.
It's just absolutely
prominent
nuts.
South Carolina Republicans are already suggesting that one of the things that's likely to be accelerated by this debate is the possibility that the field will winnow, at least in terms of future debates, the idea that Ron Paul did not acquit himself well, the Texas congressman, when he suggested that 9/11 was the result of U.S.
Acquit himself? I'm sorry, were there any charges being leveled here aside from the thin-lipped cross-dressing Mr. Giuliani? I don't think so. Oh, and these are Fox News contributors. And, of course, Fox News, Mr. Rupert's news organization, has been steadfast in the support of George Bush. Ah, gee, what happened to your supposed liberal media? Now, I'm going to try to find the clip here real quick of the goings-on between Sean Hannity and Mr. Ron Paul. If I can find that quickly here, we'll be able to play the whole thing. You know, it's just absolutely incredible, folks. They've got a problem on their hands. They've got a problem on their hands. Well, I'm not going to be able to find that clip and play it in its entirety. I'll just finish out with this, and thanks for sending this in, Bill. I appreciate this. Another Ron Paul blowout, and Bill O'Reilly's trolley jumps the track. Well, he did it again. Remember Ronald Reagan? Well, there you go again. Ron Paul's performance last night on Fox in the Hen House debate resulted in a total blowout for him, according to MSNBC's latest poll. Now, before you start screaming that all of his supporters are flooding the polls and tilting the tables, let's examine that argument. While it may seem to have merit on the face of it, if you accept that premise, then what you're saying, in effect, is all the other candidates and all of their staffs and all of their supporters are either too stupid or too lazy to log in and make their presence felt. Now, given that many, if not most of them, are much more well-financed and have considerably larger staffs and tons of volunteers at their disposal, how do you account for the fact that only Congressman Paul's numbers are so far ahead of the pack? Has the mainstream media somehow stacked the poll in its favor? Hardly. It took the impact of the people's wrath to even get him included in the polls to start with. Are his supporters somehow more intelligent or tech-savvy than those of the other candidates? Well, as much as I would like to think so, the truth of the matter is that voting in the MSNBC poll is not rocket science. Well, even my mother could do it. No, I'm sorry, I just can't accept all the lame arguments about Mr. Paul's clear and decisive lead in the people's poll. However, I would like to offer another possibility which may just account for the unexpected lead that Ron Paul has demonstrated in the past two polls. Maybe, just maybe, the people watching the debates were not as brain-dead as the political machines thought they were, and were able to tell the difference between a bunch of tired old political retreads and hacks parroting the same old lines that were fed by their handlers, and a man with a clear vision of what is wrong with this country, and maybe, just maybe, they thought Dr. Paul has the right prescription to treat this country's ills. Now, there is a concept that probably scares the living you-know-what out of these elites that decide who will and who won't run for this country. Democracy. What a concept, America. What a country. And like I said, I cannot wait to the next debate that one of these clowns slips up, because they've said it hundreds of times before. Whether they'll say it in a presidential debate is to be decided, yet to be seen. But if one of these clowns, the Mitt Romneys or the John McCains or the Rudolph Giulianis or whomever, gets up there and says the word democracy, I'm waiting for Ron Paul to launch into him, because therein is the crux of this country's problem, getting off of the restrictions of the Constitution. I mean, it's pretty plain, it's pretty clear. And the question is how much do people want this country back? How much do they want their sanity back? How much do they want their life back? How much do they want their money back? You know, it would seem on the surface to make common sense that Congress control the weights and measures of our money, that didn't turn it over to a private consortium. And Ron Paul's been all over the unconstitutionality of the Iraq War, giving the president preeminent power in preemptive attacks without approval of Congress. He just wants them to fund the stuff. On the constitutionality of the Fed Reserve, the privatization of our money system that can really control this country and have been for almost 100 years. Finally, the sane voice of reason is coming out, and you're seeing who's hopping all over him. Sean Hannity, I hope there's a hell, because I want to see you burning in that thing forever, baby. Hell, you managed to even make your counterpart there, Alan Combs, look like a saint. That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report.